And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Thanks for that interference there. We had two of the promos playing at the same time. I don't know whether it was from the home studio and then whatever. Sorry that that happened to you. Hey, call a friend right now. Email a friend, text a friend, do whatever. Tell them to tune in to CoachDaveLive.com. We're going to do an expose on what's been going on at Planned Parenthood. The assault of faithful Christians have been out front of the Planned Parenthood here in Columbus, Ohio, who've been charged, what their charges are. And so we hope this to be an enlightening program. We got Mike Blake with us. We're going to have Mike come in here a sec. First, Alicia Healy's coming in. Johnny Tuttle's coming in. And Attorney Tom Condit's going to come in. And I want to say this before I forget. I want to thank Roger Weaver, who's really stepped to the plate and has helped with some of these hearings and preliminary things that are going on. And we thank Roger for doing that too. But let's jump in here real quick, folks. Gonna tell the stories of three people been charged, arrested, Planned Parenthood in Columbus, Ohio, for doing nothing more than exercising their God-given First Amendment rights. First guy arrested was Mike Blake, and I'm going to bring Mike in because he's kind of on a coffee break at work, and we want him to be able to freely to tell us what's going on. So, Mike Blake, unmute yourself there, Michael. Come on in, brother. Mike's been going to the clinic for about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. He's been a very faithful guy to go out there. He's got his own war wagon. In fact, Mike, can you throw that picture up there that I just sent to you of Mike's war wagon that he likes to drive to the clinic? And he was, he's going to tell the story of how he was, I don't want to use the word accosted, but that's a word I would use, by the rent-a-cop at Planned Parenthood for playing. Well, I'll let you tell your own story, Mike, as we get the picture after. Thanks for joining us here this morning, Mike. The heck's going on with you, bud?
Well, it's been about, it's closer to 3 years I've been gone, and I got woke up about 3 years ago, and the Lord put on my heart to get this truck going, and I've been doing it, driving the truck for about a year every other week. I have Fridays off, and I take it over there, and I got the idea from you of playing the baby music, but I have a PA system in the truck, so I started playing it over the PA system, and I drive around the building 7 times, and then I play it while I'm driving around, and then I park, and I get out with the other guys on the sidewalk and stand with signs. But this particular day, this officer, who I didn't know his name at the time, he jumps out in front of the vehicle on East Main Street, which, if anybody's been there, it's 2 lanes plus a turning lane. He jumps out in front and holds his hands up and stops me and starts to proceed to tell me that it's against the law to be driving with any sound coming out of a moving vehicle.
So you were playing the sound of the baby crying, Mike? Is that what you were doing as you were circling Planned Parenthood?
Correct. So I turned it off while he's talking to me there, and I just started asking him questions about why I wasn't allowed any sound and how come he didn't tell me to turn it down. And they do that on the sidewalk to the other guys, and he said that it was absolutely illegal to be driving with any sound coming from the vehicle. So I forget what else I asked him, but it ticked him off, and he had me come over to the side street, which is where he should have had me stop in the first place instead of out on the main throughway, and proceeded to tell me that he was going to give me a citation for the sound ordinance. And so about 3 or 4 weeks later, I got one in the mail, but it wasn't just one citation, it was two. He gave me another citation for running the flashing light.
Mike Heath, can you get the picture of his war wagon up on there? Do you have access to be able to do that so people can see what we're talking about? So, Mike, just kind of speed this thing along, because what's? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. Maybe on mine. I'm sorry. So Mike, just because we got so many guests, kind of speed this thing along.
Sure. He basically cited me for the lights, which he never even talked to me about. And this was
the Planned Parenthood rent-a-cop, right, Mike? This wasn't a policeman that came down in his police car and pulled you over. This was a guy hired by Planned Parenthood who walked out onto the public street and basically stopped you. He didn't arrest you, but stopped you and cited you. Is that the picture, Mike?
That's the picture. And his name is Officer Blood. Isn't that?
Of all names, huh?
Of all names.
Now, folks,
so anyway, I got the two citations. I read them both. If anything, I'm probably shouldn't have been running the flashing lights, but the noise says up to 50 feet, which makes it discretionary. And he didn't tell me to turn it down. He just told me to turn it off. But I've been going there for a while now. And in this last 3 or 4 months, the heat has been, I mean, you can just feel they're getting bolder. And so are we in the Holy Spirit. But the devil is definitely stirring things up at that particular place.
Okay, Mike, so let's make a point here. This, folks, this is one of the reasons we're having this show. Mike, if you did not have an attorney, what would you have done, Mike?
Well, I wasn't going to send my money in. I was going to go in so that I could at least speak my piece and in front of the court and then pay my fine.
So you, even though you didn't believe you were guilty, because you didn't have an attorney, you had no ability to be able to fight it. So you were just going to go and pay the blood money because you didn't see any way out of it.
Correct.
And so we were able to get a hold of Tom Condit, attorney out of Cincinnati. Roger Weaver has stepped to the plate a little bit. And now you have legal representation. By the way, free legal representation when you go into that court. You don't have to dig into your pocket and pay $1,000 to defend yourself against a $200 fine, which is really what happens, isn't it, folks? We can't defend ourselves. So guys like Mike Blake have to plead guilty, pay the $200, and then decide whether or not they want to be able to do it again. So that's it in a nutshell, Mike. And what's happened since? They sent you a summons, and because Roger got involved and Tom Conda got involved, where's your case sit right now?
Right now, we don't have a date, but I've still been driving the truck there and getting up on top of it and just making a statement that way. So,
Mike, you've requested a trial by jury. Is that right? Not just some judge, some prosecutor boxing you in a corner, making you be a bad boy, pay $200. You're going to fight it in court. Is that right, Mike?
Yes, sir.
And Tom Condit's going to come and do that for you.
Yes.
Tom, ask any money from you?
He did not.
He's not asked a penny from you. Tom Condit, come in here real quick. Hey, thanks, Mike. If you want to hang around, you can, brother. Stay as long as you want. But all right, man. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, any comment on that one, Tom? Tom's down in Cincinnati, folks. Or Roger, anybody want to pipe in? Tom, remember you have to *6 to unmute yourself.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
Yeah. Well, I guess one comment I would make. Just the way you introduced it, when you referred to the police officer as a rent-a-cop, that can be taken a couple different ways, and people should understand. This is a City of Columbus police officer.
Right.
This is not private security. This was a uniformed City of Columbus police officer who is working private detail for Parenthood. So he's got all police powers,
right?
And that is normally you wouldn't expect like a private rent-a-cop, to use that term, a private security guy who's maybe not, you know, an actual police officer.
Tom, there can be no doubt though, Tom. He is working for Planned Parenthood.
Oh, right.
He's being paid for by Planned Parenthood.
Right. He was not a police officer who just was like cruising by and felt he saw a violation. He's on their pay basically. Well, I shouldn't say that because I don't understand the detail. I know in Cincinnati, when you hire Cincinnati police officers to provide some private detail for you, for example, if you have a parade permit and you have to hire police to provide certain traffic control and all that, I don't recall, but maybe sometimes you actually pay the city and the city pays the police through their normal payroll. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how Columbus does it,
he's not an unbiased officer there.
No, that's right. He at all times is a City of Columbus police officer. And if he didn't have those powers, he wouldn't be able to go out into the middle of the street and stop a truck like that right in the middle of traffic. You wouldn't see just a guy with a private security company do that.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tom. Let me pour next guy in here. Johnny Tuttle. Alicia, hang on. I'm going to get to you. John Tuttle's one of the heroes of mine. When I first got into the pro-life fight back 20 some years ago, you got up on the screen at Christian Defense Fund. There's methods to our madness, folks. We are trying to raise money to be able to defend guys like Mike and Johnny and Alicia and others that are being oppressed by the legal system. There's no better way to say it. Johnny Tuttle, I got to know again Johnny about 20. You got a picture of Johnny coming up there? Yeah, boy, can you get that on there, Mike? Because I couldn't find a good picture of him. John's about, I don't know, I'm guessing he's 70 years old. He may be a little bit older than that. Has given his life to being out in front of these clinics to defend these unborn babies. Has never had an incident. And John Tuttle was summoned into court for, Johnny, I'll let you tell the story, brother. Come on in here and tell us what Planned Parenthood's been doing to you.
Okay. thanks for having me.
Thanks for what you do, John.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been going out to the clinic for about 40 years, and I was out there at Planned Parenthood one morning, and I got there just a little early so that all the workers weren't in yet. So I was out back where they parked their cars. I was pretty close to them, but I was legal, you know, I was middle of the street. Anyway, I was pleading with them for not to go in and you know, work killing babies. And that's pretty much what I was saying. Please don't go in and kill babies today, because this was the day that Governor DeWine, because of coronavirus, had already said no abortions. And so I did also said, and if there is some sort of court proceeding against you guys, because you're here today doing this, you're not supposed to be, I will testify against you. I will testify against you, and you guys can get in big trouble. Well, it only takes them 4 or 5 seconds to get out of their car and walk in the building. So I don't know how much of what I said they heard, but after they were all in there, all of a sudden a police officer pulls up and he says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just out here encouraging these people not to go in and help kill babies. And he said, well, they called us, and he I knew him. He said, oh, you never are in any trouble. And I said, yeah, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've never gotten any trouble in my life. And so anyway, well, they said, you said that you kill them. I said, what? I said, I've never said anything like that in my life. So he said, go out and stand in front of the clinic. So I did. And within minutes, 5 police cars pulled up. 5. And 3 policemen come right out there in front and told me to stand there in front of the clinic. And so I did. And nothing was said to me at all, except one policeman said, you're not supposed to be out here. You know, this is Corona. We're having trouble with the virus, and you're not supposed to be out here. And I said, yeah, I'm allowed to be out here. And I already knew I was allowed to be out there. So he said, but I told him, I said, well, if you want me to leave, I'll just pick up my signs and go, because I got about 7 signs. And he said, yeah, get out of here. So I left. And they didn't say a word to me about anything. And within about 6 weeks, I got a summons in the mail charging me with menacing, 3 counts menacing. And 3 of these employees that went in, they lied. They said, I said I was going to kill them. And I didn't say anything of the sort. I said, I'm here to keep you from killing or helping kill babies.
Okay, John, and, we get it. So, John, we get the picture here, John. So here's the truth. You're now charged. You've been out there 40 years. You've never done anything to anybody. They make up this charge of menacing. The police send you a charge of menacing. You don't have an attorney. You're not going to go get an attorney. What are you going to do, John? Just walk into the court and throw yourself at the mercy of the judge and say, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'll be a good boy. I'll never do it again. And they'll find you guilty and they'll fine you $250. And then a menacing charge will go on your record. That's what was going to happen, right, John?
That's right. I was going to go in there and defend myself.
Yeah, which would mean you'd throw yourself at the mercy of the court. But we got a hold of Tom Condit. And Tom Condit said, that's wrong. I fight for righteous causes like this. I'll represent Amen. You. Have they given you good representation so far, John? Have you been charged? Have you been arraigned? What's the story with your case, John?
Yeah, I have been arraigned, but it's been postponed till September 15th. So that's when I'm supposed to show up, 9 o'clock.
And did you request a jury trial as well? You don't know, lawyers are doing all that, aren't they, John?
Yeah, I didn't request that myself, but that's exactly what's being set up.
Okay, folks, I want to ask you, as you're watching this right now, should John Tuttle, number one, have to go into court without any representation? Number two, should he have to dig in his pocket and come up with $5,000 to defend him to prevent the menacing charge for permanently being on his record? So that when they arrest him the next time, now it's the second charge, and the judge is going to say, "Why, we see here, Mr. Tuttle, you have a history of having done this stuff. Mm-hmm. You haven't done anything, right, John? You haven't done anything." And folks, this is how they slowly and gradually tear down Christian activists outside. Tom, come on in a minute and comment a little bit, if you will, about what's going on with Johnny.
Well, I've been involved in pro-life, the representation of pro-life demonstrators and sidewalk counselors since I was in law school in 1986. And a lot of it in Cincinnati, a lot was going on in Cincinnati back then. My dad's an attorney. He and his partner were in the middle of a big picketing war where a judge issued an injunction and really limited how people could picket. And I mean, this goes back, 35 years. So I've there was a lot of activism through the, through the late 80s into the 1990s, the days of Operation Rescue, the older people will remember those days where there were clinic blockades. And then just through the years, there's probably been less activism in the last 15 years as far as criminal cases rolling out. But, I've just seen this stuff ever since before I even passed the bar exam here's the thing, the people that do what John and Alicia and Mike do, they are effective. Mm-hmm. they rattle the abortion clinics. They do upset the patients just by
Mike Blake. They hate it when you play that baby crying music, don't they, Mike? Mike plays over the PA the sound of a baby crying so that the women inside of the waiting room can hear the baby crying before they kill their baby. You have to tap to unmute yourself there, Mike, real quickly.
Unless Coach, could he have left?
I still see him. Go ahead there, Mike.
Okay.
Yes. So now that I know they hate it because now that I can't play it on the PA until after, I'm not doing it till after this going to court, but I still play it on my phone and I go stand as close to the death courts as possible. And it just makes them squirm.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Hey, Tom, I didn't mean to walk over you there. I know you're in the middle of something, but.
No, that's okay. No, the first point I was making is that when they come after people like this and just fabricate charges, it's because they're effective. So that's the first thing people should realize. I mean, my wife's been going to Planned Parenthood in Cincinnati since the late 1980s mm-hmm. on a weekly basis when she's able to do it. I know from just all my contact through the years with the activists, there's maybe this diverts away from the legal analysis into just a little bit of encouragement for everybody out there. But I really say this from my heart. I know that there's the people that go out there regularly, somebody like John going out for 40 years, there's got to be so many days when they're out there and they feel like, especially if they're out there alone or just with a couple people, where they feel, where they feel like, what, you know, am I even doing any good out here? Nobody stops to talk to me. Nobody takes my literature. Nobody seems to even notice that I'm here. You know, am I really wasting my time? Or that's got to go through the mind of activists many days. And they've got to understand you're never wasting your time out there.
The truth is this, though, Tom. They arrest Mike Blake, and he just pleads out because he can't afford an attorney. And then they do it again to him in 6 months. And he goes in there, and the first thing the judge does is check his record. Does Mike have a record of having done this? Well, yeah, he pled guilty to it right here. Well, now, you're a bad boy, Mike. You won't behave, right? So, okay, well, and you understand how this is important, folks, and how people who go to the streets lay their lives or careers on the line to do it, and then have to dig into their own pocket to defend themselves. There's something wrong with that. Something seriously wrong with it. And I want you to know that. Coach,
I just want to say that they really targeted me once I started using the bullhorn about a year ago. And it was legal, but it was loud enough that every person getting out of the car heard exactly what I had to say, encouraging them to not kill their baby.
John,
that
I don't
when
know
they you, really started our, putting our, pressure on me.
Our buddy Norm Emmett's Coach E, you guys know Coach Norm with his booming voice. He had a run-in last Friday at Planned Parenthood where they threatened to arrest him as well for merely yelling and raising his coaching voice. Now using your voice is against the law. Folks, listen.
Yes.
We got to stand up, and we cannot just roll over and let this stuff continue to go on. I'm looking at the clock, trying to be sensitive to it and trying to let everybody get in there. But Mike, go up there real quick, and then here's the one that just kind of did it in for me. Play Alicia's video there of Alicia Healy being arrested outside Planned Parenthood. Folks, what you're seeing here, this happened live. This happened live. I was there, and Alicia, who had never been to an abortion clinic in her life, and they hate black women being at the abortion clinic. They hate it when black women show up. Because why? Because at least half of those babies being murdered in there are black babies. Black lives don't matter at the abortion clinic. And Alicia showed up and was doing a prayer walk around Planned Parenthood, and she was arrested. Play a little bit of that, Mike.
Get down, Satan!
In the name of Jesus.
Hey. Ma'am, how old was your baby? How old would your baby be today? Ma'am, how old would your baby be? Okay, we could take it on farther. Alicia, the cop came off of the grounds, or pulled her onto the grounds, cuffed her, made her get on her. Alicia, that was your first time you'd ever been to the abortion clinic. Just go ahead and kind of tell your story here if you can for us this morning, dear. Well, thanks for coming. This is Alicia Healy.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you so much for having us on today. We appreciate all the work that you do to expose the enemy for what he's doing. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Again, first and foremost, God is great and greatly to be praised. And I just thank him for the opportunity that I could go out and do what I did, which I didn't think was much. That was my first time again going. I was excited about going because God had put it on my heart to get started up to go to Planned Parenthood to do the sidewalk training. And Coach Dave, Melanie had talked with you, and apparently you were going that Friday, and Melanie said, Alicia, would you like to go with me? And I said, sure. You know, I really felt that God wanted me to start going to Planned Parenthood. And so, again, we went out. I was just kind of talking with people, and then I just did my Jericho walk. I was just walking around the building and walked around on the grassy part. And one of the escorts said, you're not supposed to be on this property here. And I said, oh, I didn't know because I didn't see a sign. And
because there wasn't one. There wasn't the sign. That's why you didn't see it.
You know, so I got off the sidewalk, and then the police officer, Officer Chung, I guess was saying to come here, and I'm trying to figure out what he was calling me for because I didn't realize that I had done anything wrong. You know, I didn't realize that property again was no trespassing. And so he ended up pulling me back onto the property and said, I've warned you before, you've been here before. And it's like, no, I've never been here. This was my first time being here. And Dave, you had also said the same thing to him, that this was my first time. And Melanie told him the same thing, but he insisted that I had been there before.
They pulled you. He actually came onto the sidewalk, pulled you back onto Planned Parenthood property, cuffed you, put you in the police car, called a backup, and they charged you with what? Trespassing, Alicia? What did they charge you with?
It was criminal trespassing.
Criminal trespassing.
Criminal trespassing. I thought, whoa, that's pretty harsh.
And so Alicia, you could have done what they wanted you to do, Alicia. You could have pled guilty to criminal trespassing because you couldn't afford an attorney. Or maybe you could afford it, but you don't want to put the money into attorney. So you plead guilty. You plead out. And so now on your record for the rest of your life, everywhere you go, try to apply for a job, try to run for an office, whatever. Well, look at her. Criminal trespassing. Found guilty of criminal trespassing. That's what was going to happen to you, right, Alicia?
Well, it did kind of hurt me because I was actually running for the chairman of the Franklin County Republican Party. And that was one thing, somebody did a hit piece on me. And that was one thing that they had, that I was criminal trespassing, although I wasn't, you know, found guilty of it. But it did, you know, make people wonder, you know, what the heck she's doing. But you know what, to do it for the cause of Christ.
So Alicia, you've had to show up in court two different times already. Instead of going in and falling on your face and say, oh, Massa, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I've been a bad girl. Oh, I've been a bad girl. Please, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Then giving you a $500 fine and having a criminal trespassing charge on your record. We got a hold of Tom Condit. Tom, come on in. What's going on here with this one? Folks, these are all happening at one Planned Parenthood in one city. Can you imagine how much this is going on? And not just at Planned Parenthoods. Can you imagine the Christian persecution that's going on all across just the state of Ohio? And nobody has the time, effort, or finances to defend themselves in court. This is what we're facing. And if we don't begin to fight back, if we don't begin to, pardon me, go on the offensive, we're never going to win. Come on in, Tom.
Yeah, sure. Well, Alicia's case, like the other two, they're all still at the pretrial stage here. Because of the COVID-19 stuff, the courts are moving kind of slowly. So for Alicia's case, I've been up there a couple of times. First, there's the arraignment. Then we had a pretrial conference a couple of weeks back where I talked with the judge wasn't even in that. I talked to the prosecutor about the case a bit. And we're going to go back one more time for a pretrial before it probably gets set for a jury trial. So, nothing dramatic has happened yet in either one of these cases or any of the three. But, they're all postured to be moving towards trial.
A trial costs money, doesn't it, Tom? A trial costs money.
Well, it certainly costs attorney. I mean, attorney time can be for a jury trial. A jury trial is a lot of work because my experience certainly was, it has been in pro-life cases, you really need a jury trial just because you need, you know, for a number of reasons, but a lot of them.
Tom, if you can, Tom, let me pull in Roger Weaver because Roger's stepped to the plate and helped out a little bit on it. Roger, what's your perspective, Roger?
Well, I've got a question for the expert. Tom, real quick, on noise ordinances, Dave and I had a mutual friend out there who through his own voice approached that he was too loud. Does the officer have to have some form of equipment to determine that the noise ordinance is being violated? And if not, are you
Great question.
To, on you?
Great question, Roger. Hey, Tom. So is a voice, can a police officer without evidence, without a meter, determine whether or not you're violating the sound decibels? Are they able to do that, or do they need evidence, Tom? Tom, you're muted. You gotta unmute yourself. Star 6, I believe it is.
Hey, Coach, maybe I can answer that question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. Tom, yeah, Tom Condit, you're still muted, bud. You got to hit that. I think it's star 6 on your phone. There you go. Yeah, okay, hang on. Let Jeff jump in here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Sure.
Well, I was with Mike there on the 17th of the Friday. Went very well. And the previous time, ahead of time, going to your events, I read the codes and so forth. And yesterday, you had to have a sound meter to justify if they're over the 65 decibels.
Thank you, Jeff. You agree with that, Tom? So they can't just say to Coach Norm, your voice is too loud. Tone it down. In fact, they told him, folks, this is a fourth case now. This is a fourth case at the same Planned Parenthood. The police officer, Norm has a very loud coach's voice, and the police officer came up, detained Norm, and told Norm that he had to stop it because he was bothering the people inside the waiting room. What do you think of that, Tom?
Yeah, well, I get just as a general question, whether a sound meter is required is going to be based on how an ordinance is written. Because I've handled one just recently in Middletown, Ohio, where it doesn't talk about decibel level or anything like that. It just talks about what's unreasonable noise, and also that particular ordinance had to do with how far away it could be heard in terms of feet, 100 feet. So it just as a general proposition for your listeners, it depends how an ordinance is written, on whether a police officer can just use his discretion or not. But any discretionary call like that without actually a meter reading of some kind, well, that's just a swearing contest. That's exactly why you want a jury to be able to decide, you know, what they even believe as far as what a police officer is saying, because he doesn't have any scientific evidence without a meter reading. He's just using his judgment, which can be
very
disputed.
And again, folks, again, don't forget this. He is working for Planned Parenthood. He's a Columbus police officer hired by Planned Parenthood. So he is not neutral in his approach. He's extremely biased in his approach. So now this, folks, I hope you understand, we are not begging for money. But this is going to, Tom Condit lives in Cincinnati. He's already made a half a dozen trips to Columbus to defend these guys. Have you gone to a lawyer lately? Listen, I'm not trying to make anybody look bad. Roger Weaver, what's the going rate for, if you, Roger, were going to have to drive down to Cincinnati to defend Mike Blake, what's your going rate, an average attorney's going rate, Roger?
Well, you know, it's most attorneys are billed some type of billable hour program. Some will do a flat rate. But I think the good thing is to keep in mind is we have to defend these things. There's too much plea bargaining going on. And, you know, on a typical misdemeanor, if you're going to take it to a jury trial, you're going to be at the jury trial day all day to get to you. And then it might carry over to the next day because they won't start the jury trial till 1 o'clock. But you got to be there at 9 in case they want to start it at 9. So you're probably looking at an easy couple grand to take it to a jury trial. And if it's a very intense case where there's a lot of preparation, most attorneys will tell you for a jury trial, you know, 2 or 3 hours for every hour you're in trials is not unreasonable. So there's some serious money involved.
And Tom's traveling all the way from Cincinnati to defend these guys. Come on, man. Come on, folks. Say it again. 207. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Who set? Somebody's all over the place. Who set these prices? Who's in charge of this? You've said more than 10 times already, just in this part of the show, that the common man has been priced out of the judicial system.
Who sets those prices? Who's in charge?
That's great.
It's the judge.
Well, great question, Jack. I would imagine, well, it's like anything else, probably the market. I would imagine the market does.
The market
is what it is.
Who can control it? Who controls this market? The lawyers control this market.
But, John, but Jack, that's a different argument. That's a different argument.
That's why we can't win.
That's why we can't fight. That's why we can't fight. We can't afford to fight. Which goes back to the show I said about the petitioning the government for a redress of our grievances. You go broke trying to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's what happens. Okay, let me open it up to a couple questions there. Tom and everybody hang in there a second. Let's see where this thing goes. Somebody come on in.
The coach went with Mike Blake there in front of Planned Parenthood in Columbus. While he was driving around it with his ambulance, pretty cool looking. But it'd be great to have a siren going and the crying baby, you know. But and in the beginning, when I preach with my 25-watt meter voice booster right here, and I actually said the ordinance is ahead of time and let Officer Blood know that unless you have the proof and the evidence to technically describe that I am over the sound ordinance, you have no cause to even talk to me.
Okay, Jeff, let me ask a question. Hey, Tom Condit or Roger, which either one of you. Hey, Tom, what's the odds of Mike Blake going to court, representing himself without an attorney and winning in court?
Well, that's I'm not an odds maker. I can tell you, I can tell you by my experience. By my experience in lots of municipal courts, I mean, probably I've probably been in 10 municipal courts in Ohio through the years. I'll say this, there's a lot of good judges out there at the trial level. Okay. The trial courts that hear this, as opposed to the appeals courts, as you go up, I mean, there's a lot of good judges who try to be fair. My experience, though, is in pro-life cases, you know, cases involving pro-life protesters and sidewalk counselors, you know, abortion just makes everybody a little bit crazy. And there's, you know, sensitivities and biases. And I think judges even sometimes get a little fearful politically about finding it's why I always file for juries if I really think it's going to go to trial. I've kind of referred to in some courts what I call the unholy trinity of police officers, judges, and prosecutors, that, you know, they spend a lot of time together. Okay. they get to know each other, and there's times again and again when there's close calls, maybe not absolute proof, kind of a swearing contest between how loud something was or whether someone stepped over the property line for trespass. Or, I mean, I just find that judges kind of consistently err on the side of guilty. Mm-hmm. They just err on the side of guilty. It's like you just feel like they're just too close to these prosecutors. Some, I don't know about Franklin County, but in Hamilton County, prosecutors are assigned to a courtroom. They rotate every 60 days. So 60 days in a row, they're in there with the same judge every single day prosecuting. And so they just kind of get to know each other. And I want, one of my complaints through the years is that judges, the judge's way to rule in favor of, and I look, I'm just generalizing here, but I'm thinking of a number of times I felt this way. You know, the proper result would have just been not guilty. You know, the evidence was too conflicted. There was just too, you know, they got to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. And there's many times I thought, okay, there's so much doubt about this one. There's just no way the prosecutor has proven it beyond a reasonable doubt. And the judge's way to resolve that in favor of, and I, again, I'm getting into their mind a little bit. The judge's way to resolve this and to rule in favor of the defendant is not to say not guilty. It's to say, I'm finding you guilty, but, you know, $10 fine. You know, it's so, right, such a light penalty that's the way they feel they're being kind to the defendant. But it's like they just can't say not and guilty in the same sentence. You know, they just can't do it.
Right.
But that's their way of kind of sending the signal. Look, I know this defendant's a good guy. I don't think he's a danger to anybody. He's probably not guilty. But I'm just going on my gut here. But I've seen enough of this that that's how I feel it operates. The judges and the prosecutors get too friendly.
Not only that, Tom, I believe that the bias against pro-lifers is beyond anything that we can even understand. If a pro-lifer shows up in court, we immediately begin to think of abortionists being shot, blocking clinics, all that stuff. So there, you have that stamp on your forehead already, radical, before you ever walk into the court. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Roger? I do. And let me quote Justice Scalia, something he wrote in an opinion in 1995. It actually was a little concurring opinion. It was an opinion he wrote in support of the Supreme Court decision not to hear a case. You know, right at the beginning, you know how few cases the U.S. Supreme Court hears, like 1% of all petitions actually get heard. And sometimes judges write opinions, the justices write opinions about why a case should or should not have been heard. And Justice Scalia wrote one in a case, it was a First Amendment case involving pro-lifers. And he was basically agreeing why they should not hear a case. But in the course of it, he basically said, we shouldn't hear this case because it's an important issue and it's unlikely to get resolved in this case involving, quote, that currently disfavored class of anti-abortion protesters. He was basically saying this important issue will not be decided correctly in this case because it involves pro-lifers and we never really treat them fairly. That's so, basically Tom, what he
Tom,
was
saying. Tom, do you think, just question, do you think Mike Blake and Alicia Healy and John Tuttle and Norm Emmett, are they going to get the same treatment with the courts as Black Lives Matter?
As a general rule, based on my experience, well, let me put it this way. My understanding in Franklin County, in the city of Columbus, is that almost all the charges against the people who destroyed downtown Columbus were dismissed. Dismissed without trial. So I can tell you right now, the answer to that question is no.
Amen.
Because I don't see any dismissals happening in the case of Blake, Healy, or Tuttle. I don't see
anything of that. Come on in, Roger. Yeah. Roger's trying to get in here again. I see. Go ahead, Roger. By the way, I'm going to ask Alicia or Mike or Johnny to be able to pipe in here if they have anything they want to say also. Roger, did you want to say something?
Hey, well, Roger's coming in. It's an equal application of the law, isn't it, Coach?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So again, we go in, like I said, you go in with a leper printed on your forehead before you ever walk in. Go ahead, Roger, you're up now.
I was going to say, I agree with Tom's assessment as the BLM people are all left free. The question I would ask is Tom, if he would agree. One of the nice things about Tom is he's coming in out of county. Okay. Now, a lot of people might view that as a detriment because he doesn't know anybody. But my feeling has been, and Tom, your input would be appreciated, if you're looking to do a deal, you probably want local counsel because they know everybody. They've gone to the fundraisers with the judge. They know the prosecutors. So if you're looking to do a deal, you probably need local counsel. However, if you're looking for a trial on matters that we have right now, the ability for outside counsel to come in, I think, is very important, especially if he is a trial attorney coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know anybody, but we don't really care. We just want to make sure he knows the jury.
Amen. Amen. And Tom Condon, you're not some guy just fell off the turnip truck. You've been dealing with federal court, federal issues, state Supreme Court issues for your whole career, right, Tom?
Right. And the federal cases, I've done maybe one or two federal criminal cases, but the federal work I've done has always been suing. I mean, representing the pro-lifers as plaintiffs
Yes. When
their rights are violated, suing the police officers or the municipalities. But an important point is most of the time, if your rights are violated by police officers, prevailing in federal court, even being able to get in the door in federal court, is premised on your ability to win the criminal case in state court. So winning, if you take somebody like Alicia Healy. Okay, she was actually arrested and detained, handcuffed by a police officer, which if there's no probable cause for that, that's a violation of her Fourth Amendment rights, unlawful seizure. And also her First Amendment rights. She was out there praying, and so that would be two constitutional violations, where there would be a remedy and money damages in federal court. But all of that is premised on her prevailing in state court, which means unless you can get the prosecutor to dismiss it, which is rare unless you're Black Lives Matter, you've got to go to trial and win it and be found not guilty. Only then do you give life to your federal claim as a plaintiff. So that's why holding the police officers and the cities truly accountable by suddenly making them the defendants in a civil case, mm-hmm. that's important. That's important to keep their feet to the fire, to back them off, to make them realize we're going to get sued if we're not careful out here. If we're not winning the criminal cases, we never really get to hold them accountable.
So Tom, let me ask this, because I think this is, I hope you folks are able to clean out your ears and hear the answer to this question. So Alicia Healy, John Tuttle, and Mike Blake were all arrested, by a Columbus police officer being paid for by Planned Parenthood. So Tom, if in any one of these cases, these folks are found not guilty, is Planned Parenthood liable at all? Is Planned Parenthood going to have to answer for the fact that they hired a cop that violated the constitutional rights of Alicia Perry? Alicia Healy.
Coach, let me clarify one thing. Mr. Tuttle and Mr. Healy really were not arrested. They were just cited.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Alicia was arrested, so there's a difference in how they might have a civil claim against police officers. But to the extent that there's going to be liability, I do believe that Planned Parenthood could be liable for what the private duty police officers did, even the city of Columbus too. There could be liability to both Planned Parenthood and the city of Columbus for the acts of that off-duty police officer.
Okay, Tom, wait a minute. Oh, I heard it. Okay. Tom, Christians aren't supposed to sue.
Yes.
Well, that's what I hear Christians saying out there right now.
Jeff
now ought to get bullwhipped. He ought to take it and just suffer for Jesus. We shouldn't sue. The Bible tells us not to sue. What does that say? No, the Bible says don't sue your brother. Don't sue your brother, it says, right? Don't take your brother to court. But if we sit back and allow them to sue us, and we never fight back, we're going to get what we got. Tom can come in. Anybody, somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach, I got a point of reference. One, when the police officer that was paid by Planned Parenthood gets called into court, is he not on overtime by the city? That would be my first question, which I believe is yes. So the city is picking up that tab. And two, why can't you go out and hire your own city of Columbus police officer to go along with you to the thing to make sure your rights aren't being violated or that you're being assaulted by people from Planned Parenthood? By your own cop, and let both of them go to court and talk against each other.
That's a great idea. Here's the problem with that, Craig. You never know when they're going to hassle you. You never know. You just never know. It comes out.
I'm just saying. Go a couple times with your own police officer.
Yeah. I don't have to pay.
The other guy.
I don't have to pay $75 every time I go to the clinic. Right?
I know. I'm just saying. Fight fire with fire. That's
awful. Alicia, what have you learned throughout this whole ordeal?
Well, I didn't think going to Planned Parenthood to pray was going to end up this way, I guess, because I didn't really know all the ins and outs about what they did per se. So it was very eye-opening But now that I've kind of seen some of the things that are happening, I can see why, because I believe that the enemy knows that his time is short and that all of these things that are happening, I think, are happening for a reason, because I believe that that Planned Parenthood is going to close down.
I believe it, too. Amen. I believe it, too. But I also believe it's only going to close down as we go on the offensive. Johnny Tuttle, you have anything to add? Johnny, you still there?
Yes. I believe that we have to pursue them just the way they pursue us. And if we do, the truth will prevail.
The truth will. Folks, should you have to plead guilty to something you didn't do simply because you have no legal representation? Now, I'm going to say something else about Tom Condit that's important here as well. Tom is Tom told me one time, he said, "Coach, if I can't defend you, I might as well give up my law license." And he's been very, very faithful in that. But Tom, you're also connected to some of these larger public interest Christian law. I don't even know what to call them, right? You're connected with some of these big guys too, that you can sometimes appeal to them for some help. Is that true?
Right. I would call them some of these public interest law groups that, yeah, they exist for this purpose. And people have probably heard of a number of them. The Thomas More Society out of Chicago is involved with John Tuttle's case. There's the Rutherford Institute, the American Center for Law and Justice. That was a group founded by Pat Robertson, I believe, and Jay Sekulow. People know that name. He was the head of that group for a long time. There's the what used to be the Alliance Defense Fund is now called Alliance Defending Freedom. That's a very big group out of Arizona. So a lot of these do exist kind of as a counterpunch to the ACLU to stand up for Christians and fight with them. So I've worked with a number of those groups through the years, and they can give good support to the litigation. And sometimes they'll actually give some pay the attorneys to do some of the work. But a lot of the times, they'll agree to pay the cost involved with litigation, but the attorneys still are kind of working on their own. They don't have the money to be paying attorneys, hourly rate to fight a case.
So, folks, listen, here's what we're trying to do. It's up on the screen right now, the GoFundMe page that we set up. Here's what we're trying to do. I want Tom Condit to be a phone call away anytime one of our Christians are being persecuted. It's been my experience to have an attorney immediately get involved, changes the whole dynamic. And I want to be able to be out on the street and have a problem and immediately call Tom Condit and say, "Hey, Jeff Nell needs some help, Tom." And Tom Condit will say, "Well, you know, I'm not really licensed to work out in Nevada, but I'll get to work and see who I can find and how we can help." Now, listen, folks, we're not setting this fund up to help you with bankruptcies. We're not setting this fund up to help you because your neighbor's dog's peeing in your yard. That's not what this is about. This is a frontline ministry to soldiers who are out fighting. The Bible says no soldier goes to warfare at his own charges or his own expenses. And I believe that we, as the body of Christ, need to support legally these frontline warriors who are out there every day standing up for the unborn baby and the cause of Christ. We need to do that. And you see, I put a goal up there of $20,000. That would be a year. Who knows what case is going to come upon us that's going to take $50,000. But we certainly need $20,000. That's our goal, to initially get Tom and our attorneys engaged and ready to stand up and push back. Tom, would you have anything to add to that, or Roger, or anybody that's listening that understands what this is about? This is the missing element in our weaponry, I think. This is a missing element. Mike, what's going on? Mike Keith, you weigh in here a little bit, Mike, because you just went through this thing. We won't get too public about it, but you went through this thing with FedEx. And so you're thinking, "Well, hell, how can I fight this? It's going to cost me $10,000. I don't have $10,000. Isn't that kind of true, Mike?
Yeah, I don't even have a job, Coach, because I've been disqualified globally from wearing a FedEx uniform and getting paid $12 an hour to do the last mile delivery of dog food, all because I think sodomy is evil. And thank God for Tom, because he's helping me out. We're working on a letter right now, and I hope we can. I want to sue FedEx for $1 trillion. I mean, $1 trillion is nothing right now, right? I mean,
it isn't anything, Mike. You know, most Christians would say, "We'll pray for you, Mike. We'll pray for you. Hey, Mike, we'll pray you don't starve." Right.
Isn't that racketeering? Isn't this whole thing racketeering that Mike can't work? There's nothing wrong with Mike that he couldn't do the job.
Is it racketeering, Tom? What do you think about that, Tom? Yeah, without getting into this case, Tom, what do you think? Here's what I know. They are so used to beating up on Christians because they know we won't fight back.
Well, I think there's...
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, no, I think there's truth to that, Coach, and I also think especially if you focus back on Planned Parenthood, setting aside the rest of corporate America like FedEx, you know, I think the abortion clinics are emboldened because they really find the courts to be such comfortable places. I've always felt that when Planned Parenthood like goes into federal courts to challenge some, you know, you work. The pro-lifers worked their tails off for years to get good legislation passed to limit abortions or outlaw abortion. Planned Parenthood waltzes right into the court within 24 hours, and a federal judge just issues an order saying, nope, that's unenforceable, that's an unconstitutional law.
Mm.
And that happens so much, and the Planned Parenthood gets emboldened because they find the courts to be very friendly places for them. And so for us on the Christian side of it, the opposite is true. We find them to be generally kind of unfriendly places for us. So all we can do is go in and throw a punch and fight. I mean, we can't just lay down. We got to go challenge it.
Coach, I got a question.
Go ahead, Joseph.
I got a question for Tom. I would like to know what's the city ordinance or the city's guidelines for PD or SO that's being paid by our organization to provide security, do they have the responsibility to call an on-duty officer to citate or do citations to the offendant?
I don't know. I'm sorry, it's a very good question. And I don't know the answer to that because that may be information that's publicly available, but sometimes you actually have to get to a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, where you can make a discovery request where they have to produce information like that. So yeah, I don't know
That would nip him in the bud.
Well, Joseph, let me give you this illustration because I try to go to the clinics as often as I can, and Mike Blake and Johnny Teller, they're there all the time. And those hired cops, city police officers working for Planned Parenthood, as we're standing on the sidewalk, cars go flying up and down there, breaking the speed limit. Cars come by running, roaring their engines. And those police officers never do anything to confront any of those people on the street violating the law. They never do anything. But if you do anything on the sidewalk that in any way interferes with Planned Parenthood, they are hired guns for Planned Parenthood. Do you understand that, my friends? They're Columbus police officers paid by the city taxpayers who become hired guns. They are there to protect Planned Parenthood. The system is broken, and we cannot continue to have pro-lifers be dragged into court and pay fines simply for exercising their God-given First Amendment rights. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. Hey.
Amen.
What you're doing there is that $20,000 goal. This is what we've talked about for months. Got to be done. That $20,000 is minimal. Wait till they come after you as Christians at your church, because the whole thing's take down Christianity. We got these teams now, Nelson and Tom, both sides, the enemy and us. We're probably a couple $100,000 into this thing. We'd have never been able to touch this without Tom Condit and the other guys. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But we got to stop the enemy before they come attacking us.
Hey, listen, we're running out of time. Alicia Healy, you're a hero, dear. God bless you. Don't you back down. We got your back. John Tuttle, you're one of my heroes, John. John, thank you, been out there 40 years, brother. You never flinch. You're the most gracious, God-fearing man out there. I honor you. Mike Blake, all you've been doing. I could give you a litany of names. I could go on and tell you people who went to court and pled guilty to something they didn't do simply because they didn't have a legal representation. And I say it's time that that came to an end. You can help us out by donating online at CoachDaveLive.com, or we also have a GoFundMe page that we set up, and we would ask you to share it with other people. $20,000 is nothing. You say, well, what are you going to do with that? We're going to hire lawyers.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, what do you think we're going to do with it? We're going to hire lawyers.
God bless you, Coach.
Come on.
Yeah.
You get a, hey, with the exception of Tom Condit and Roger Weaver, are you listening to me? When you get a volunteer lawyer, you get exactly what you pay for, folks. Get exactly what you pay for. A workman is worthy of his wages. God bless Tom Condit. God bless Alicia Healy. God bless Johnny Tuttle. God bless Mike Blake. God bless Mike Heath. I could go on and on and on. Let's take him down. When David chopped off the head of Goliath, he did it with Goliath's own sword. Let's pick up that legal system and let's fight back. God bless you, folks. We'll see you. We'll see you Monday. Hey, wedding tomorrow. Zach's getting married tomorrow. Wow. See you Monday morning.
You're off.